I said, all right, honey, obedient husband that I am. Thank you, Judy. Right? Thank you. Well, there are two things that I'm going to address this morning. One is that I am going to tell a little bit about the wonderful news that still brings deep abiding joy to the world. And the second thing is, I hope to answer the question, why this baby? With regard to the joy that is ultimately spread to the ends of the earth, Luke chapter 2 reminds us of everything that happened that night leading up to the joy of which the children sang, of which our praise dance presented for us, and Judy, of course, the entire service, and the wonderful news that brings joy to the world. In verses 1 through 5 of chapter 2 of Luke, we have unique insights into the groundwork that's being laid, not by history, but by our sovereign Lord. And so we read more or less, not the previous year, not a month later, but at that particular time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decrees that a census should be taken throughout the entire Roman Empire. So everyone was returning to their own ancestral towns to register for this census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him, of course, Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously very pregnant. I don't know about you, but it still excites me to realize that Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem because God had foretold through the mouth of his prophet Micah that Christ, the King of Israel, was to be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So if we can wrap our minds around this bit of trivia that is definitely not trivial, God's predetermined plan included the Roman Emperor's decree, which would actually help with the fulfillment of God's word by bringing Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. And I love it. I love it when a good plan is executed with such precision. And that's what a sovereign, all-powerful God can do. So, if we put 21st century application to this, we simply remind ourselves that not only are our souls safely in the hand of God, but we also take profound delight in knowing that every circumstance in which we find ourselves, in which the Lord obviously already knows about, is carefully attended to by His ever watchful eye. Now, if you're close BFF with Mary, you're watching out for her, and you may say, oh no, Mary's pregnant. She should not be riding a donkey when she's this far along. She should stay put. I don't care what the law demands. But no, the prophecy said Bethlehem, and so she needed to go there. And the heavenly overseer, capital O, the real pilot of the ship, sees to it that they navigate safely to where he planned that they should go. You see, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is never caught off guard as though some previously unknown, unforeseen factor suddenly surfaces and threatens to throw off kilter his wonderful plan for Mary's life, or as far as that goes, for your life or mine as well. And that's so hard for us to maintain a firm grasp of sometimes, isn't it? Especially when things are happening so fast and the frustration begins to set in. Well, in verses 6 and 7, we see their arrival. Mary gives birth to her first child, a son. She wraps him snugly in strips of cloth and lays him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them, not even temporary accommodations. There was no sauna, there was no pool, no hot and cold running water, no unlimited cable service, no free breakfast buffet, no free Wi-Fi connection. There was no lodging available for them. Let's see. Have things really changed that much over the centuries? I mean, is there room today in our increasingly liberal and progressively more God-hating country for someone who is righteous and whose truth will lead us into a right kind of living? Is there room for him today in our churches, which are often being considered not much more than a business, with pastors being CEOs rather than shepherds, and with an emphasis on programs rather than on spiritual growth and development? Is there room for him in our individual lives, or are other persons and other activities and other things taking first place in our busy lives and leaving no room in our inn for Him? We may have more in common with the time of Jesus' birth than we realize. Then in verses 8 through 12, we hear the amazing proclamation by the angel of the Lord to the shepherds who were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Verses 8 through 12 tell us that suddenly an angel of the Lord appears among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory totally surrounds them, and they're terrified, just like I would have been, and just like most of us probably would have been. But the angel reassures them, "Don't be afraid. Chill for just a moment, because here's what this is all about. I am bringing you good news that will be a powerful source of great joy to people everywhere. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And in case you decide to punch it into your GPS and go check it out for yourselves, you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." As I reflected on this again, I wondered what kind of news would bring great joy to us Americans today. What sort of proclamation would we be anxiously awaiting to hear at this time? And certainly with what has happened out in Connecticut, with the shooting and the killing, the best news could be that it didn't even happen. For many people, it may be, hey, the Chicago Bears are going to the Super Bowl. That would bring delight to many. For some, it might be the announcement there is a definite decrease in unemployment over the past 3 months. What a joy that would mean to so many who are in need of employment. For some, it might be, you know what, the Salvation Army, the bell ringer, has received a record amount of money to fund programs for reducing poverty. And that would have to be a happy bit of news as they try to help so many more needy people at this time of year. And certainly for many, if we heard the following: the Republicans and the Democrats are meeting together for a prayer meeting to ask divine wisdom in turning around our nation's unmistakable rush toward the fiscal cliff, I think some would be willing to sing the Hallelujah Chorus frontward and backward if they heard that kind of news. The point is simply this: 21 centuries later, you and I have the privilege of joining with the very angels of heaven in joyfully proclaiming the best news that the world has ever heard or needed to hear, and which will bring unbelievable joy. And here's why. Because regardless of your circumstance in life, this fantastic news is for you. There is healing for your guilt-ridden conscience. There is forgiveness for your sins. There is salvation for your soul. And of course, we might ask, even as Mary of old asked, how can this possibly be? And here's how. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and it was God's great love for you that prompted Him to decide, I will allow my Son to pay the price for your sins. That's simply impossible for us mere mortals to grasp, to fully understand, though God does allow insight into this incredible grace through faith, which is way beyond mere intellect. What the Lord is saying through the wonderful news which He intends will ultimately bring joy to the ends of the earth is this: the death penalty, which Pastor Roger mentioned a few moments ago, the death penalty which your sins and mine incur, and the subsequent death which we honestly deserve, would be placed on God's only Son. He would die in our place. We would need only believe that Jesus is Lord and receive Him as our Savior, because as many as received Him, as many as believe on His name, to them God says, I give the right to become sons of God. And that's awesome news, isn't it? And that brings me to the second point that I wish to address this morning. Why this baby? Now, from the moment I saw the title that Pastor Roger had assigned to this Advent series, I was intrigued. Why this baby? Why this child? Is a fascinating question that brings back memories of certain times in life when similar questions might have been raised in different circumstances or situations. Perhaps you will identify with some of these. For example, in times of sibling rivalries, when one child's behavior is seen and not the other child's, and the one receiving the discipline cries out, "Why me? Why not Johnny? He's the one who started it all." Johnny was always the one who started it all. Or how about around the time when winning lottery numbers have been pronounced? I have actually heard with my own ears someone say regarding the winner, "Why them? Why not me?" When every year they choose a chase car for the Daytona 500, I'm sure someone has to say, "Well, why a Chevy? Why not a Ford? Or why not a Dodge or a Chrysler?" Or how about this? Two flights take off from the same airport. One does not return because of a terrible crash. The other arrives at its destination safely and leaves a host of people asking, "Why that flight and not mine?" I've heard stories of young boys saying to a male mentor, "I really wish you were my daddy." The underlying question, of course, is, why is the man who calls himself my dad and who left mother with four kids and a ton of bills to pay, why was he my dad and not you? And so the question, why this baby, is a neat one, and it certainly deserves all the attention which Pastor Roger and Pastor Ron and Rick LaBar have given it in recent weeks in this Advent series. The presentation which our children gave us this morning really does deserve the applause that we have given them, that they are our future. One reason I say that is that the whole idea, or just the possibility, of there being a joy that by divine intent would not only encompass you and me as recipients of its fullest, deepest meaning, but be a joy that would ultimately spread to the farthest corners of the world as we know it. Folks, that is such a God thing that of necessity, especially at this time of the year, we would have to pursue its significance as related to that question, why this baby? We sing, "Oh, Holy Night," often forgetting that the night in which Jesus was born, the world around him was wrapped in gloomy, helpless darkness. Men and women and children, entire families were on their way to a Christless eternity, forever separated from God and from any hope for a different kind of life. And the one born King of the Jews was also wrapped, but in a hodgepodge of cloths, which may previously have served as anything from wiping sweat from the brow to the wiping down of the dirty manger in which they ultimately lay him. Meanwhile, people far and near were sleeping, some perhaps dog-tired from a busy life, but others perhaps having exhausted themselves by empty, futile religious exercises designed to appease some nameless god, but leaving them with a deep void, a sense of desperateness, fully aware that their sins still remained within them, gnawing at the conscience and sending an unmistakable message of absolute hopelessness. Their question might be, is there a baby? Is there someone, anyone out there who could meet me where I am and help me find deliverance from the guilt of my sins? You and I have the distinct honor of having the Bible, the Word of God, in many different translations. We can pick and choose the Bible we want to read at any given time. And so the other day when I was pursuing a particular train of thought, I read from Ephesians those incredible words reminding me that I was chosen before the foundation of the earth. And I also read how I was predestined to be adopted as one of God's many children. And as I often do, I just sat there shaking my head back and forth, deeply moved by God's unbelievable, incredible grace to me. And since I was thinking about the message that I'm preaching right now, after I had given some thought to those verses for a bit, I wrote these words down. I said, it is inconceivable that in God's divine plan, He would choose me before the foundation of the earth and arrange for me to be one of His adopted children, but then not be as meticulous or leave to randomness or chance when it comes to the birth and life of the one through faith in whom we would actually become part of His family. And so here's what I came up with. Why this baby? Number one, because God does not lie. Numbers 23, God is not man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? 1 Samuel 15, also, the glory of Israel, which is another name for God, the glory of Israel will not lie, will not have regret, for He is not a man that He should have regret. Hebrews chapter 6, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is what? Impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. And we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Why this baby? Because God does not lie. Secondly, why this baby? Because this baby was the one who would come, just as God, who does not lie, had promised. Isaiah 7. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Luke chapter 1, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Why this baby? Because God does not lie. Because this baby was the one who would come just exactly as God had promised. And thirdly, why this baby? Because this baby, who would become a man, would be the Savior of all mankind. I hope we all understand that a Savior was definitely needed, because we are fully aware, as we are fully aware, our first parents, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God. And sin entered into the world, so that everyone born to Adam and Eve and to every other subsequent child of theirs has been born with a sin nature that has separated us from God, who is absolutely holy. And so a mediator between God and man was needed, as well as someone who could save us from our sins. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that there is one God and one mediator between God and men. That is the man, Christ Jesus. And this baby who would grow up and become that man would be both our mediator and our Savior. That's why this baby. This baby would not be just another baby born of woman who's wonderful to look at and to coo over and to play. This little piggy went to market on his tiny toes of his feet. As the angel of the Lord said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. John chapter 1, the next day, referring to John the Baptist, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Acts chapter 4, Peter says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 13, when Paul, speaking of David, said, of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, just like He promised. Colossians chapter 1, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. Mind boggling. Titus 2, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And then points to the glory of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. Hebrews chapter 7. Folks, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him. Deep breath. So I hope the question has been answered in your heart if you were wondering, why this child? I sincerely hope that you're able to understand more personally and to authentically and joyfully grasp more deeply how privileged you and I also are to have received the proclamation that the angels made that evening to those shepherds, because the good news is for you. And if up to now in your life the story of the Christ child has only touched you emotionally, but your life goes on the same old, unchanged, sinful way, then you need to know something this morning. You are included in the all people that the angel referred to when he said, "I bring awesome news of great joy, which is for all people." You need only agree with God that you are a sinner and believe that God has forgiven your sins through the death of His Son on the cross, which took place some 33 years after He had been so carefully laid in the manger as a baby. That's why it's a child. May this become the best Christmas ever as you humble yourself before God and truly receive the gift of eternal life through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can pray a prayer something like this if you are not a child of God yet, if you're not in the family of God. Dear God in heaven, I confess that I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I ask for your forgiveness, and I humbly accept Jesus as my Savior. You can pray that prayer this morning. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that you do not lie. Thank you for the promise of Christ's birth, His life, and His death. Thank you also for your faithfulness in fulfilling all your promises related to Jesus and to our salvation. And certainly, Father, thank you in advance for that person or persons who today may finally understand the real answer to the question, why this child? And they will put their trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and make this their best Christmas ever. Now, with your heads bowed, your eyes still closed, if you prayed that prayer I just prayed a moment ago to receive Jesus as your Savior, would you just quietly raise your hand so that I can pray for you this week? If you wish to speak personally with me or with one of our elders, please know that we are here for you. So, Father, thank you again for your great love to us. In Jesus' name and for the glory of God, I pray. Amen.